You are listening to BensTorah.com.
This specific parasha of Shalach, which deals with the mission of the Meraglim, has major impact on a global level, on a historical level, from the time of antiquity to the present to the future. And there's so much to learn from this specific parasha, hashkafically and ideologically, especially when it relates to our connection to Eretz Israel, that I want to spend a couple of minutes this morning dealing with it. And as you're going to see, there's a lot of important ideological and hashkafic concepts which emanate from this parasha, which we have to keep in mind in order for us to maintain our mental capacity to deal with all the various trials and tribulations and the nisyonos that Klal Yisrael are being confronted with on a global level, not only in the Mideast and Eretz Israel, or perhaps in Europe, but even in America itself. So please listen carefully as I try to dissect the parasha and extract from it hashkafas I want you to keep with you the rest of your life to deal with the problems that are confronting us and the ultimate promises made to us by the Rabbi Neshalem, as alluded to in this specific parasha. Now, the parasha starts off with Moshe being asked by the people to send a special mission to spy out the land of Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Canaan, to do basically a reconnaissance mission of the land before they actually enter it, before they undergo a battle to capture the land and to actually, by capturing it, develop an ownership of the land, make it their homeland, the Jewish homeland. No longer is it a land that is inhabited by everybody else who really don't have entitlement to the land. And the fact of the matter is we find that Moshe, right in the beginning of the parasha, when he hears the requests, says, Shalach lecha anashim, all right, you're going to pick the appropriate people to go out. Yisur Eretz Canaan, they're going to literally spy out and do a reconnaissance mission on Eretz Canaan. And basically, Hashem told Moshe to tell of this. Hashem, Nosem Levnei Yisrael. I want every mata, every shevet, to send a nasi, one of their head leaders, to represent that shevet in this specific reconnaissance mission. And the Torah tells us that Moshe acquiesced, and based upon the command of Hashem, he sent these people. He called them Anoshim Rosh Ben Israel Hamar. And then the Torah lists all the people that participated in this specific mission itself. And it tells us that they started their mission, and in fact Moshe gave them commands to basically give back and bring back certain reconnaissance information. What's the nature of the Am, the nation living there, the people living there? Are they chazak or rafe? Are they weak or strong? Are they a lot or a little? What's the nature of the land they're living in? What's the nature of the agricultural production of the land? Is it a tova, good land for agriculture, raw, bad land? What's the nature of the cities they live in? Do they live in open cities? Do they live in fortified cities? Is the land a fat land that produces very, very good crops, very fertile? Is it the razad? Is it the opposite? Are there fruit trees? Are there other types of agricultural produce? And even told them, bring back Hitzchazaktim Elokachim Pi'aret. Bring back samples to show the people exactly what's growing in Eretz Israel. So with all these instructions, the Meraglim went out, they did their mission, and the Torah tells us that they did encounter very strange things in Eretz Canaan. They saw, quite obviously, people who were what are called Yelidei Anok, very, very tall, big, gigantic people that were living there, very unusual size. They found fruits that literally were bigger than any place else they've ever seen, and they brought back samples of these fruits to show their Jewish brethren how big and different these fruits are from anything else that anybody has seen up until this point in time. It was a 40-day reconnaissance mission, and ultimately speaking, when they returned, they basically gave their report directly to Moshe and to Klal Yisrael to hear exactly what they saw, what they heard, and what they basically said. And I'm going to read the words before I get into my analysis. It says, "Vayisapru lo," they told Moshe and Klal Yisrael, "Banu aras asher shalachtanu," we went to the place you sent us, "it is unquestionably an eretz avos chalavu devash," and that was what Hashem says it is, and we found it to be exactly a land that is full of honey and milk and everything else. Period. Look at the fruits that we were able to bring back samples. But the problem is, when it comes to the nations we have to conquer there, Az Amayeshabarats, the people that are there are very strong physically and militarily. The Aram Abatsiris Gedolos are totally fortified. The Elide Anok, even giants of people we saw there. We saw our arch enemy Amalek in a certain sect of the south. And we saw a whole bunch of other people from the Canaanite nations living in different parts of the land itself. And ultimately speaking, the thrust of what they wanted to basically do is to generate fear in the hearts and minds of Klal Yisrael that in fact we are incapable of doing the job because the land is difficult for us, because it is a very difficult land when it comes to the ability to be able to take from it what we need appropriately. The fruits are gigantic and perhaps something that we cannot handle, and they brought back some fruits that they had to carry on major poles that couldn't be carried in their hands because of the gigantic size. The cities, quite obviously, are not able to be easily captured or conquered. The people are fierce. So they were generating tremendous fear in the hearts and minds of the Jewish people when it came to the results of their reconnaissance mission. Upon hearing this, Kalev interrupts, and he basically says very specifically to the people and to Moshe, "Ala nala v'yirashino oso, ki yochanuch Allah." Don't listen to what everybody else says, the other Meraglim. We have the ability, we have the capacity to defeat the enemy over there, to conquer the land, to be able to come and be yorish the land, inherit the land, like Hashem promised our forefathers. The people who could obviously, who were the Meraglim, who were the counterforce, said, "Lonuchal alos, we don't have the ability to conquer the land. Chazak mimenu, the people in the cities are too strong for us to conquer." And ultimately, Yatziu dibas aretz asher tarubo, they said lashon hara upon Eretz Yisrael to cause fear and trepidation in the hearts and the minds of the Jewish people. They called it an Eretz Achelas Yashvahi. It eats up and destroys the population that lives there. And if that's the case, how in the world can we fight the people that some of them are so big, they're like giants, that we basically look in their eyes as if we're grasshoppers on the ground? That's how tall and big these people are. And upon hearing this report, the Torah tells us, unfortunately, the Eda believed, the other Meraglim did not believe Kalev or Yeshua, and they started to cry, "Vayitnu es kolam, vayivku am balaylahu." They cried about this terrible, terrible phenomenon the entire night. Started saying to Moshe, "Brought us out to kill us in the Midbar. What are you doing? Are you out of your mind? Let's return to Mitzrayim." And as it continues and it continues, the story gets worse and worse. And despite the fact that they sped Lashon Hara, Yeshua and Kalev try to once again mechazek Klal Yisrael, Tov Eretz Ma'od Ma'od, the land is very beautiful, very good. In Chafetz Banu Hashem, if Hashem wants us to succeed, Hevi Asan Aretz Azel, so give us this land. and it's an Erez Avas Chalav Advash. Al Timrodu, don't rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Al Tiru, don't be fearful of the people there, because at the end of the day, Hashem's with us. Al Tiram, if Hashem is with us, why are we in a state of fear? Despite all of this, the nation believed the other Maragon rather than Yeshua and Kalev, and it became a very, very dangerous situation. Hashem sends a public nevuah and tells the people he's very upset with them. What are you talking about? What haven't you seen in the past? What Hashem did for us when it came to the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf, how he led us in the Midbar in a miraculous fashion. Anam Yakavel, there's Man, there's a Be'er Amayim. And if that's the case, Hashem has the ability to do what could obviously no other entity can do. And despite all of that, we saw that the people were not willing to back down. So Hashem, upon seeing Klaus's unwillingness to do tshuva and ask for forgiveness, and they're testing Hashem once again, Hashem makes a definitive statement that the generation from 20 upwards will not be zoicha to enter Eretz because of this rebellion of the Meraglim, and therefore the land I promised to give to your forefathers, you won't see it because you showed distaste, menatzai, you literally showed disdain and disrespect for it, Kalev and Yeshua, because they had different spirits with them, and they listened to me and believed in me, they will go there from your generation, and ultimately Klaus will inherit this land. This whole phenomenon is going to therefore delay their entry into Eretz for another 40 years, and ultimately the grandchildren, great-grandchildren will enter Eretz. But the generation of Meraglim who rebelled and believed the other Meraglim against Yeshua and Kalev, that generation will not be Zohar to enter Eretz because of their rebellion. When it comes to describing the attitude of the Meraglim and Klal Yisrael to going to Eretz, one term that's used in Sefer Tehillim, which is mentioned in the Chumash as well, is Vayim Asu Be'eretz Chemda. They showed mius, they showed disgust, they showed total disdain, disrespect, total rejection of the concept of going into Eretz Israel. Was it important to them? It was something that was disgusting to them, something they want nothing to do with. And quite obviously, the Rabban Shalom recorded this both in the Pasuk in the Chumash and later on in the Pasuk in Sefer Tehillim, where you had a restatement of the facts of what happened, and the word of mius, mius, of Eretz Israel, hashkafically and practically, were basically used and codified to describe the attitude of the Meraglim. This is the sad story, very sad story, mentioned in the Chumash concerning this specific phenomenon. The question we have to pose, and it's a very important question, did Klal Yisrael initially have the right to make a request to send a mission to explore Eretz Israel and to do reconnaissance before they started going into a military warfare mode to conquer the land strategically? So even though we're aware of Rashi and some of the Rishonim's interpretations that maybe they shouldn't have done this, and maybe they should have believed in that Kaddish Baruch Hu, lock, stock, and barrel, nevertheless, the Ramban, and I'm talking about Nachmanides, Rabbeinu Bachya, Ben Asher, and many, many, a good majority of the Rishonim were of the opinion that Klal Yisrael had a right and even a mitzvah to send a reconnaissance mission for the purposes of looking at the land and surveying the land, doing strategic analysis before they were about to fight a war. The Ramban just says simply the Torah doesn't rely upon miracles, and therefore b'derech hatev, anytime anybody's involved in military warfare, as an army, they always do strategic analysis before they start the war to know how to deploy the troops, to understand who the enemy is, how to defeat the enemy. So based upon strategic analysis and deployment of troops and everything involved in preparing for war, not only are you allowed, but you're mitzuva to be involved b'derech hateva to try to prepare for the warfare before the actual battle takes place. Even if Hashem promises all the promises of success, we are still mechuyev to make the preparation. The famous pasuk, which is quoted by Rabbeinu Bachya in his introduction to Parsha Shalach, is a pasuk from Sefer Mishlei, where the pasuk says, "Sus muchan l'yom ha-muchama," prepare the horses, prepare the chariots, prepare all of the armaments you use when it comes to fighting wars and succeeding in those wars. Prepare the horses. Whoever had more horses and chariots usually had the upper hand, because the battle of the soldiers who basically walked on the floor of the earth and fought with each other was insufficient to be menatzeich in the battle. Those who had more horses, had a bigger cavalry, had more chariots and other types of weaponry helping them, usually succeeded in their milchamos. And if sus muchliyama milchama, if we have to prepare, therefore, the Rabbi Debachia says, we have a mitzvah to do the hishtavus, the derech haterah, to make the preparation, the pasuk then ends, la Hashem hachua. But the ultimate success of this war will be in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rabbi Debachia develops the hashkof I want you to remember. And that is, he says, that even though we ultimately believe HaKovid Dei Shemayim, Chus Yiras Shemayim, everything is in the hands of God in heaven, except Yiras Shemayim is something we have to develop ourselves, but everything else that happens to us, when it comes to Klal Yisrael large, or us on a personal level, HaKovid Dei Shemayim, everything is based upon Siyata Deshmaya from God, if you're worthy of that Siyata Deshmaya. Nevertheless, despite that, La Hashem HaTshua, we have a chiyuv nevertheless, because we can't rely upon miracles, to do whatever we can with derech haterah to prepare ourselves for warfare and make sure we have all the weapons and all the strategies in place before we start the war. So at least with derech hateva, there would be a possibility based upon natural law to defeat our enemy. So we have to do that hishtadlus. We don't rely upon miracles. So Rabbeinu Bachya is following the Ramban. The Torah doesn't rely upon miracles. We have to mishtalu b'derech hateva to have a proper army and proper armaments, proper weapons, and strategies to defeat our enemy, etc., etc. The shlichus of making this strategic commission of reconnaissance was the mitzvah min ha-teira of how you prepare for war. But ultimately, Jews have to believe whether they succeed or fail in their warfare is all in the hands of the Ribbono Shel Olam. He will make them succeed or fail depending upon their zechuyot, their spiritual merits or demerits at that point in time. What's interesting to note is Rabbeinu Bachya goes further and says this is not just a question of military warfare, Hashkafa, but even when it comes to sick people in your house, people who are deathly ill, just to sit and say Tehillim and say, Ani Hashem Rafech, Hashem is my Rofe, therefore I only have to pray to Hashem and all the miracles will take place. Rabbeinu Bachya says it's not a proper Hashkafa Satera. You likewise, the same way you prepare for warfare with Derech Hateva, you have to fight disease, Rapi Yerape, Mekan Shinit and Rishus, there's a Rishus and Chiyah for a doctor to practice medicine, there's a Chiyah upon a patient to take advantage of doctors who have knowledge of medicine and go to them if something is bothering them and they need medical cure. So there's a chiyuv d'oraisa on the doctor to treat. There's a chiyuv d'oraisa for the patient to seek out the proper doctor and the specialist to treat whatever is ailing them at that point in time. And even though we believe Ani Hashem Rafecha, that Hashem is the ultimate doctor and healer, we have to realize that we first have to mishtadu b'derech hateva to do it with the proper medicines and doctors, get the finest and the best available that have been proven to be specialists and experts and use them. But after we do all hashtadlus, and even the doctor who has done his hashtadlus or her hashtadlus to prepare themselves for their medical career, everybody, the patient and the doctor, have to realize the ultimate success of all that they do, treating them with medicine, treating them with operations, is in the hands of Hashem, It says, Ani Hashem Rofecha, I am God, your Rofe. I will determine the success or failure of your doctor. You have to b'derech hateva do the hishtadlus to try to medically cure, but the ultimate success or failure of this is totally in the hands of the Rabbeinu Shalom, but we have to be mishtadla before. So according to Rabbeinu Bachya, representing a good percentage of Rishonim and Achronim, are of the opinion, human hishtadlus for our protection in war and for our protection against fighting disease is a responsibility upon us as human beings living in this world. We have to use whatever is available in the living world in which we live, in scientific technology, in medical technology, in warfare technology. We have to do whatever we can to prepare ourselves, but at the end of the day, realize that our success or failure is in the hands of the Rabbeinu Shalom. Our merits or demerits will determine our success or failure. We have to have bitachon and emunah kadosh baruch hu that if we are worthy and we act spiritually appropriately, Hashem will help us and we shall succeed. But we have to do the hishtadlus before to prepare ourselves every way possible for this specific endeavor, as I mentioned. And that's why the Rabbeinu Asher, Rabbeinu Bachya ben Asher, says that the sending of the Meraglim was halachically appropriate and mandatory, and that's not the problem. The problem is the way the Meraglim reacted to the reconnaissance mission, their misinterpretation of what they found over there, and the fact that they came back with such negative statements, saying that, forget about Klal Yisrael not having the ability to defeat our enemy. But they basically inferred in the various statements they made in front of Klal Yisrael, Moshe, and Aaron. They said that even Hashem will have difficulty defeating these specific gigantic giants and armies and fortified cities that are contained therein in Eretz Israel. The fact they said that and even brought doubt into people's minds concerning the omnipotence of Hashem, the capacities of Hashem to bring this war to success, under Hashem's Hashkacha Pratis, using us as the means and mechanism to carry it out. This was a very sinful activity. This was sacrilegion on their part, a lack of belief in Emunah in the Kachos of Hashem, and lack in belief in Emunah in the fact that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a promise, which Hashem did, that we're going to get Eretz Israel, that not to believe it, not to rely upon Hashem's divine promises. The fact they saw all the miracles of Yitzias Mitzrayim, they saw all the miracles of Kriyas Yamsuf, they saw and experienced all the miracles of the Man, the Anani Akava, the Be'er Mayim, they witnessed and experienced Maimer Har Sinai. Despite all they saw and all they experienced, they still have a suffix in their mind based upon what the Meraglim told them, that they're not going to be able to conquer the land even with Hashem's help. Was the last straw. It was a major rebellion against Hashem. They cried that night. Chazal say it was the night of Tisha B'Av. And the Rabbeinu Shalom, as the Gemara quotes in various places, says, Heim bachu b'chiya shachinam. They cried an unnecessary crying. They shouldn't have cried. They should have said Tehillim and prayed to Hashem that they'll have Siyata D'Shmaya to succeed in the capture and conquest of Eretz Israel. Instead, they cried and cried in disbelief, and they questioned exactly what Moshe and Aaron and the leadership of Klal Yisrael did in bringing them into a hopeless, helpless situation. We're not going to be able to conquer. They believed the Meraglim. And Hashem, when he saw such a rebellious star, having so many sfeikas, despite all that they saw, punished them, that nobody above 20 and older was going to live long enough to be able to enter Eretz Israel, and it took 40 years for that generation to disappear, to pass away, and only their children or grandchildren who did not rebel, were not of that age caliber, they'll be zochet to enter Eretz Israel at the time Hashem wants, in the future 40 years from that specific point in time. So the question I want to ask, and it's a very important question, and I already emphasize that this is a tremendous question. How did the Meraglim come to such a negative conclusion about incapacity to be able to conquer Eretz Yisrael because of what they saw. They witnessed miracles themselves from the Makkos of Mitzrayim, as I mentioned, up until this point in time. What were they thinking? What caused them to come to such a negative, irrational conclusion after witnessing all the miracles, the unbelievable types of osos and mofs and that Hashem performed for us? It seems to be something that's intellectually impossible to understand and comprehend, how such a rebellion can take place. And furthermore, of the 12 Maragalim, we find that Kalev ben Yefunah and Yeshua, despite what they saw the same thing that the other Maragalim saw, but they came back with a total different hashkafa, a total different belief, that despite what you saw, despite what was brought back, and the reports that were made, we will succeed 100%. So Yeshua and Kalev gave ultimately the report that Hashem wanted Klal Yisrael to receive and hear, and Moshe Aaron had no doubt that's what's going to be the response. What is it that Yeshua had and Kalev had, that they saw the phenomenon different from their Jewish brethren, the other Maraglim, that they came back with a positive report, where the other Maraglim came back with a negative one? This is the million-dollar question I want to deal with this morning, at the heart core of my Shia. So listen very carefully what I want to teach you today. What I'm telling you now is something that's based a little bit upon a Yesod of Rav Soloveitchik. He points out, and it's based upon the Rambam text as well, that the interesting term that is used in describing the mission over here of the surveillance of Eretz Israel by the Maraglim, if you go back in the beginning of this parsha, it says very explicitly, what was the term that describes this mission?
You are listening
to Ben's Torah. So it says in the beginning of the parsha, "V'yasuro es Eretz Kanan." Now, yasura means to look and to see, to take a tour, etc., etc. But the word "v'yasuro" is mentioned. What Soloveitchik quotes in the name of the Rambam is that the concept Vayasuru is not really strange to Pasha Shalach, because interestingly, if you look at the Pasha and all the way at the end of the Pasha, you have contained over here a very, very interesting Pasha at the end, a Pasha called the Pasha of Tzitzis. And the Pasha of Tzitzis is one of the three Pashas we read every day in the Kriya Shema. It's one of the three Pashas that are part of this Mitzvah Deraisa, according to many Rishonim. It tells us over here that when you see the Tzitzis, when you look upon the Tzitzis, Re'isa Mosaho, Uzachartim is called Mitzvah Hashem, you'll be able to see when you look at the Tzitzis all the Mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vasisim Osam, and you'll perform these Mitzvahs. But then it says, by keeping in mind the Musa Shmuz of Tzitzis and doing mitzvahs, Lo sasur ach levach and lechem asher temzon erechem. Your heart and mind will not therefore sasuru, basically go in all directions and lead you away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and get involved in things you shouldn't be involved with, and ideas and concepts and ideologies that are perhaps happening in the world at that point in time that might take you away from Torah, from Hashem, from Yiddishkeit. So by doing the mitzvah tzitzit, you won't be sasuro, led astray, look at other hashkafas and ideologies, reject Judaism, and accept the secular philosophies or hashkafas instead. So the word sasuro that was used for the mission in the beginning of the parsh is mentioned in Pasha Tzitzis, something alluded to by the Rambam on Revuchim and something mentioned by Rav Soloveitchik. What basically he says is the following. What made the Maraglim, unfortunately, and I say unfortunately, make the mistake that they made, see what they saw, come back with such a negative hashkafa concerning the mission of capturing Eretz Yisrael and conquering Eretz Yisrael, and understanding the beauty and the finesse and the greatness of the land of Eretz Yisrael. The Torah says, you know what their problem was? They went with the kavana of Yasuru, which meant they came with a secular, non-Jewish hashkafa in their way of analyzing the situation of Eretz Yisrael when it came to its demographics, when it came to its agriculture, when it came to the physical size of the cities and how the cities were fortified and the people who were living there. They looked upon this with a secular perspective that's totally devoid of Hashkafis HaTorah, of Hashkafis HaKadosh Baruch Hu, totally devoid of all the ideologies and concepts on Yesodos of Emunah B'Tochen BaHashem, which they got Yerusha from Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, the Bris Avos of the Avos, going back to the time of Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, where Hashem initially promised them Eretz Israel. They literally did not take any of that information into consideration, and they looked at their actual mission as a secular reconnaissance mission, as if a non-Jewish nation was doing it. And if that's the case, if we're going b'derech hateva, going to natural law, and don't believe that Hashem is going to help us and basically give us the kalach and power to accomplish our mission and desire to conquer Eretz Israel and fulfill the mission and the promise of Hashem that you're going to dwell in the land, Yosh Aris v'yashavtem bo, the pasuk says, Amaseh, you're going to inherit the land, drive out the enemy, and dwell therein. If we're going to look at it from a secular, non-Torah perspective, the way Goyim look upon it, then in that case, you can come back with a very, very negative report. And that's exactly why the Maran Avuchim and Rav Soloveitchik explains that the mission is described as Yasuru, because Yasuru by Tzitzis is looked upon as exactly looking at the world from a secular, non-Jewish, hashkafic perspective, basically seeing all the various glories and phenomena that take place in our Goyish world, being enamored by it, being inspired by it, being influenced upon it, and thinking Kochev Yetzim Yodi, thinking about everything is basically based upon the abilities of human beings, not filtering God into the picture. So when you come with a secular perspective in your mission, and Yasuru means a secular perspective, anti-Torah, anti-Jewish perspective, the way Tzitzis warns us we should not think that way, that was the perspective that 10 of the 12 Meraglim had, and that is unfortunately why they ultimately came back with a total negative statement concerning our ability to capture Eretz Israel. When it came to Kalev, and when it came to Yeshua, Ruach HaCheres, they had a different perspective. And what I want to highlight for you is exactly what is it of the Hashkafis of the Torah that Yeshua and Kalev took into consideration, where they saw the same evidence being produced by the Meraglim, and despite what they saw, and despite what they witnessed, and despite what they experienced, they came back with a total different perspective and Hashkafa to Klal Yisrael, that you have nothing to worry about, Hashem is with us, and therefore we will win and be able to conquer the land and dwell therein as was promised to us. What is it that Yeshua had in his Hashkafa base? What is it that Kalev had in his Hashkafa base to allow them to escape the Chet of the Meraglim to maintain their Emunah B'Tochen to the very end? So I want to share with you a very interesting thought, which Chazal point out based upon the Midrashic and Hashkafic interpretation of certain things mentioned in the Parsha as part of a description of their trip in analyzing the land on behalf of Klal Yisrael and coming back with a report. Number one, Chazal tell us when the Meraglim came into Eretz Yisrael, Kalev momentarily separated himself from the Meraglim, and he headed in the southern direction. And where did he go? So Chazal tell us in Midrashim, he went to the Kever of Ais. He went to the Kever of Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. He went to the Moros HaMachpela. He went to those great Gedolim Tzadikim, the patriarchs and matriarchs of Klal Yisrael, who brought Klal Yisrael into existence, the progenitors of Klal Yisrael. He went to those Tzadikim in Tzidkaniyos, who were the first individuals to develop a very close relationship with HaKadosh Baruch on a very deep spiritual level, a dveikus, a connection with Hashem that was really superior. And these individuals, during their lifetime, were told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a bris called the Bris Bein HaBesarim, in Parshas Lech Lecha, Hashem promised Klal Yisrael various important haftachas concerning their future based upon their spiritual merit as being chosen as the chosen nation of Hashem, the Am HaNivchar, not only in the present but in the future, that Klal Yisrael at the end will carry on the mission of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And what were some of the promises of the Bris Bein HaBesarim? One was the promise of Hashem giving us Eretz Israel as our Jewish homeland and taking the non-Jews who live there presently out of the land, driving them out, and basically giving us the ability, the capacity to capture these lands and make it the Jewish homeland in the future. That was one of the major promises of the Bris Bein HaBesarim. But the Rabban Hashem also promised in the same Bris Bein HaBesarim two other promises. Number one is that Klal Yisrael as a nation throughout world history will be totally indestructible. You might be able to wound, and Rachman Olson even kill, a certain part of the nation based upon natural law, but no nation on the face of this earth, even the Roman Empire, the Greek Empire, the Persian Empire, the Babylonian Empire, later on the Turkish Empire, and even the Arab Empire, and later on even the Germans, Yimach Shemam V'Zichron, and the Arab world, whoever our enemies are, they will never have the ability to eliminate the Jewish people and commit genocide against us to the point that no Jews are left on the face of this earth. Hashem said he's going to be our magen, our shield, our protector, which means Hashem promised us the bracha and the haftach of indestructibility. And the fact of the matter is, after thousands and thousands of years of the history of the world taking place, as one of the Geisha writers, Mark Twain, mentioned, it's a miraculous phenomenon, which for a guy is quite obviously incomprehensible, because this Mark Twain was not aware of the Bris Bein HaBesarim, how the Roman Empire ain't here anymore, and the Greeks aren't here, and the Persians aren't here, and the Babylonians aren't here, and the people they oppressed, the Jews, who lived in their lands, Achai V'Kayim, are in existence to this very day, which therefore describes the promise of indestructibility was fulfilled over thousands of years of world history. We're still here to this day in Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, with all our adversaries that are surrounding us from all sides, each and every day. B'chol dar v'dar oimdom aleinu l'chaloseinu. There's always anti-Semites out there who are trying to destroy us. And what is the actual phrase in the Haggadah say? HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzilenu miyadam. Hashem saves us continuously from the non-Jewish anti-Semites of the world in each and every generation. They tried to destroy us, they tried to commit genocide and eradicate the Jews, and no major, powerful, militarily strong, sophisticated, technologically advanced society who tried to eradicate the Jews ever succeeded. We're here and they are not here. A key of the haftacha of the indestructibility of the Jews. Another promise of the Bris Bein HaBesarim is Vayetzer Sechutza. Hashem took Avram outside. And the Gemara interprets this and the Midrashim interprets this to mean, what do you mean Hashem took us outside? He told Klal Yisrael, your survival and your ability to supersede every type of problem that confronts you over the thousands of years of existence, you are going to be living in a lifestyle that is chutz miderech hateva. You're going to live above natural law. Natural law will not have an impact upon you as a nation when it comes to your ability to overcome all the impediments that are trying to prevent you from being successful. Hashem says, natural law might impact upon all the major empires I mentioned before, but you, Klal Yisrael, are going to live chutzah mechutz miderech hateva on a national level, on a political level, on a military level, on a religious level. You're going to be able to supersede all the impediments thrown your way by the enemies of Ahalachi B'duah, Esav, Sani, As Yaakov. It's not going to help the Goyim, no matter what they think they're able to do. They're not going to over-defeat you, overwhelm you. You're going to be Chayv Yekayam. So your indestructibility and living Mechutz Miderech HaTeva, L'malach Miderech HaTeva, will secure your ability to survive to the end of days. And then you have the promise of Eretz Israel. So Chazal say that when Kalev went to the Kever Avos of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov in Chevron to pray at their Kever before he undertook his mission, the reason Kalev never got Nichshal in the Chet of the Meraglim is because he went with the promises of the Avos and Imos, the Bris Bein HaBesarim, which meant that Klal Yisrael, if they're told to do something, will always succeed if they follow Hashem's Ratzon. They're indestructible. The capacities, even in warfare, are Shaloi B'Derech HaTeva, supernatural, above natural law. And ultimately, if that's the case, the promise of them inheriting Eretz will take place under all circumstances, no matter what the Goyim say, Lam Yomer HaGoyim, no matter what they try to do to try to prevent this from happening, they will not succeed. And therefore, Klal Yisrael will inherit Eretz Israel, and it will be their Jewish homeland until the end of time. It doesn't mean that sometimes we'll go into Galus because of our averos, but if we live, and we live a spiritual life, and we come to the end of time, Hashem will make sure that we will return to Eretz Israel, whether we're worthy or not, because Hashem's name and reputation, B'kiddush Hashem, where promise was made that Klal Yisrael will get Eretz at the end of time. Therefore, Kalev, when he therefore saw all the various things mentioned by the Meraglim later on, was not scared. I don't care about the Anakim. I don't care about the fruit. I don't care about the fortified cities. Hashem says we are indestructible. We are going to fight wars L'mayla Miderech HaTeva with Hashem's help, with divine omnipotence of Hashem on our side. The Aron HaKodesh was part of the Kalei Milchama used in the capture and fighting of Eretz Yisrael, so that the Shekhinah fought with us and therefore allowed us to conquer a land that was not conquerable, the Derech HaTeva. And with those Hashkafis, Kalev therefore had no problem in telling Klal Yisrael, don't listen to these stupid Meraglim. They're not using Hashkafis at Terah, they're forgetting the bris of the Yavais, the bris of those tzaddikim who are buried in Chevron, in Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, and therefore we will succeed, even though other nations perhaps might not succeed, and we will get into Eretz Yisrael and conquer it and live therein. So that was the Hashkafa Kalev had, and that's why he was not fooled or literally in any way influenced by the report of the Meraglim, no matter what he saw on what he heard. When it comes to Yeshua, Chazal tell us that Yeshua's real name was Hoshea ben Nun. But Hashem tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu added a yud to his name. He was called Yehoshua. And Rashi quotes the word Yah, which we find yud kei in the Chumash. I'll tell you where very shortly. He said, Yah Yoshiacha mi'atzes Meraglim. He prayed that Yeshua, that whatever the Meraglim say, if it's negative later on, God should save you and give you the ability to perceive why they are wrong in their assessment of what's going to happen when it comes to Eretz Israel. God will watch you and save you and prevent you from being nichshal. And so was it that Yeshua was not influenced by the Meraglim and, like Kalev, protested to Klal Yisrael, so they shouldn't be fearful, shouldn't be in a state of trepidation, but we will basically succeed in capturing Eretz Israel and dwell therein. Now, what's significant with the Yah? So Chazal tell us the Yah that was put, the extra Yud put on Yeshua's name, where he's now called Yehoshua, rather than Hosea, is not just Amazai just appending a letter to his name, but there's an historical piece that relates to that phenomenon which has special significance and meaning, especially to Yehoshua. And what Chazal say is, if you want to understand what I'm saying now, you go back very simply to Parshas Bishalach and realize at the end of Bishalach, we have the episode in the place called Rephidim, where the Amalekim had the chutzpah, the audacity, to attack the Jewish people despite all the miracles they heard about. They tried to destroy us. And the Torah tells us that Yeshua was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to pick a group of soldiers, and they basically fought with these remnant Amalekim in that area, and ultimately they weakened them and defeated them. The Jews won the battle at that specific point in time. But what, ultimately speaking, Chazal tell us is that Hashem at that juncture sent to Yeshua and to Klal Yisrael a very important message. And what's the message? The message is that Vayom Hashem El Moshe, and this was supposed to be said over to Klal Yisrael, Kesov Zos Ikarim B'Sefer, I want you to write what I'm writing, telling you now in a book, and it's recorded in the Chumash, Sim Ba'ozna Yeshua, and let Yeshua hear this as well, because he's going to have the leadership position in the future and have to implement what I'm telling you, that the ultimate eradication of anti-Semites, anti-Jewish nations from the face of this earth is not going to be the ultimate job and mission of Klal Yisrael. They're too numerous for us to take on the whole world. But Hashem says, I will get rid of the Amaleks from the face of this world. The physical Amalekim, I'll destroy those nations. Those Amalekim, when it comes to the Hashkafa anti-Semitism, which they promulgate, I will eradicate that Hashkafa. Moche Emche, I will be, and I will fight, and I will defend you and keep you around. And to therefore record this specific Nevuah, Moshe built a Mizbeach. He called it Hashem Nisi. And then he says, Vayomer Kiyad al Keska. He then quotes that the hand of the guy tries to grab on to the Kisa HaKavod, to the actual divine throne of Hashem, but he calls it Kesya, the seat of Hashem, where Hashem's name is spelled deficiently, Yud-Heh, not the Yud-Heh Vav-Heh, Milchama LaHashem Ba'amalek Midar V'dar. So says Rav Soloveitchik and others, that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, be mechazek Yehoshua. So Moshe said to Yeshua, before you left on the mission, you remember what Hashem told us in Bishalach when you had the first war with Amalek? Hashem says, ki yod al keska, milchom al Hashem b'amalek midor b'dor, mach em chazek Amalek. Realize, Yeshua, that despite what you might see, and perhaps you might see things that frighten you or impediments that you might perceive, we have nothing to worry about. Because Hashem already promised you and me and Klal Yisrael at the end of Bishalach that the war against the Jews is a war against God. And if that's the case, you don't want to take on God when it comes to dealing with the Jews or dealing with anything else in this world. Because at the end of the day, God created the world. He maintains the world. He's Mechadish B'chol Yom Tov Ma'aseh Bereishis. He controls the ultimate events of what goes on in this world. He makes sure those nations he wants to survive, survive. Those nations he feels that should be destroyed, should be destroyed. Hashem is the ultimate master controller, builder, and the one who literally gives tremendous divine providence of what happens in this world. And when it comes to Klal Yisrael, there's a special divine providence, a special connective link that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has towards the Jewish people, and especially to the Jewish people when it comes to Eretz Yisrael. Einin Hashem L'kecha Bo, Hashem's eyes are toward the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael, the Pasuk says in Ekev, from the beginning year to the end of the year, there's a special divine presence for Jews of Hashem in Eretz Yisrael, a special Hashgacha Pratis for Jews living in Eretz Yisrael, up and above Jewry around the world at large. That's one of the reasons the Ramban says in Chumash, Hashem wanted the Jews to live in Eretz Yisrael, to be able to be in the Avira, in the environment of Eretz Yisrael, in its Kedusha, and this Kedusha throughout Eretz Yisrael, not only where the Beis HaMikdash is and where Yerushalayim is, but this Kedusha throughout all of the lands of Eretz Yisrael, from the top to the bottom, to the north and to the east and the south and the west. There's Hashem Shechina, 10 different levels of Shechina, as the Mishnah says in Masechtas Kelim. So Yeshua, when he came with the Meraglim, he knew by the change of his name, Ka Yosh Acha, that Ka mentioned in Bishalach, of Hashem fighting our battles and watching us and protecting us and eliminating our enemies, he came with that Hashkafa. If you walk around with that Hashkafa, you're not fearful of giant people, you're not fearful of fortified cities, you're not fearful of how fierce and mighty our military opponents might be, how great the nations might be. You're not worried about conquering the land, be able to handle its agricultural capacities. If Hashem is with you and promises you Sa'atei D'Shmaya and will eliminate your enemy, you go with a tremendous amount of power and emunah bitachon. And that is why, according to Rav Soloveitchik, even Yeshua was not nispoil, wasn't influenced by what the Meraglim said. He maintained his emun and bitachim to the very end. And therefore, we therefore see, as we learn from the Hashkafa of Kalev and Yeshua, the only two Meraglim that came back with the proper Hashkafa, is that if Hashem wants us to accomplish something, Olanale, there's no question in your mind that we will accomplish what Hashem wants us to accomplish, even though it looks like a mission impossible. Nothing is impossible when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's a Bar Yuchal Kol. He can do whatever he wants. If he can create Yesh Miayin, if he can basically do all the other miracles he did for us for thousands of years before, he can give us Eretz Yisrael against all odds. And if that's the case, we as Jews living now in the 21st century, who are threatened by anti-Semitism, perhaps on levels we never saw before. Unfortunately, many of the anti-Semites are now using modern technology, the internet, and other forms of social media to defame us, to try to basically make us into a negative force in the world at large, to not show appreciation for all the various good things the Jews did for thousands of years to enhance the world, not only on a spiritual level, but to enhance the world when it comes to technological phenomenon, all of the great phenomenon when it comes to what the Nobel laureates are able to accomplish. Just so happens most of the Nobel laureates are coming from Jews and Jews living in Eretz Israel. But the world forgets very quickly that everything they have when it comes to technology and science and medicine, it all comes from Tzion, it comes from the Jews living in Eretz Israel. It's our chachma of Masa Bereshis, of how the world functions, besides our chachma and knowledge of Torah, that literally benefits every citizen living in the world at large. There was once a famous speech made by Netanyahu in the UN, in which he says, why in the world do you, Goyim, hate the Jewish people? Look at all the things we've done for you for thousands and thousands of years. And he starts listing all the contributions that the Jewish geniuses have basically contributed to society. And then he said to them very simply, I want to mention just one little technological miracle. You all have cell phones. You all rely upon this for communication worldwide. But there's only one thing you're forgetting. And that is, there's a chip made by Intel in your phones that was manufactured, believe it or not, in Eretz Yisrael by the Jewish geniuses that are employed by Intel, which allow you now to use this phone on levels that were never perceived before, to communicate internationally in sophisticated ways with all the smartphones and everything else. Don't you realize if you hate us, you boycott and want to destroy us, you're not going to have this type of equipment, this type of modern technology available to you. And if you really want to boycott us, then you better take all your cell phones and throw it on the ground in the UN and smash it down, because to say that I hate the Jews and I don't like them and I don't want them here and they shouldn't be here and we should destroy them. So what right do you have to use the technology they've given you to communicate and make your lives easier and more sophisticated and make your life a little more happier by the fact you can always be in touch with whoever you want every minute of the day because of the technology they created for you. And this goes for medicine. It goes for every area of technology in the modern world at large. Some way, one way or another, it comes from Eretz Yisrael. All those startups in Eretz Yisrael, which later on become major technological phenomena, are bought over by the major technological companies of the world because the Israelis created it with their brilliance, and by them adapting this, the world's able to benefit. All the major companies of the world, whether it's Intel, whether it's Apple, just name it, they all want to have factories and places of business in Eretz Yisrael. Think factories, because they want to use the Jewish brain and Jewish capacity of creativity to make sure they succeed in their specific businesses. So why are you criticizing us? Why don't you basically have respect for us? The word I want to leave you with today is, we will succeed as the Jewish people and live to the end of time and be zocha for the Mashiach. There's no question about it. That's the Haftach of Hashem. And we are going to see it. We already see many phenomena of what the Chachmetz Chaim called the Ikfas of the Meshicha taking place already in our lifetime. But I want to mention that ultimately speaking, for us to be Zochav of the final Gula, we have to remember the two Hashkafos that Kalev and Yeshua had to keep them going and giving them the Chizuk Kalev to realize that nothing can stop us. Kalev had the promises of the Bris Bein HaBesarim, our indestructibility, living L'mayla Miderech HaTeva, and the promise definitively of being the Yarshim of Eretz Israel. And Yeshua had Yah Yoshiacha, God will save you, the Avtoch given in Parshas B'Shalach, that God says not only you are going to fight wars and get rid of the anti-Semites, Malcha Emcha, I'm going to help you. You're not only involved in Timcha destroying them themselves, but I'm going to be participating. I will get rid of them. And the same Kisei Ka that is Chaser at that time, the Yud Kei Vav Kei is missing and being spelt. The Kisei of Hashem at the end of time will be Yud Kei Vav Kei. The world will see Hashem. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokein Hashem Echad. As Rabbi Kiva said to us, Tamidin, before he passed away, at this point in time, Hashem Elokeinu, we understand who God is. Hashem Echad, at the end of days, the world will realize there's only one God in this world. They'll forsake all of their ideologies, their false religions. There won't be Christianity, there won't be Islam anymore, there won't be any of these crazy other religions that exist today. Everybody will believe in God, either be a Jew or be a Ben Noach, observe the mitzvahs of Hashem. And the only religious tabernacle that the world will go to pray to God, is going to be in Yerushalayim, Ki Beisi, Beis Tefila, Chol Ha'amim, that all the nations will realize you have to go to the Beis HaMikdash to pray to God, to sacrifice to God, to get your bakashas from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, forget about Mecca, forget about the Vatican, only Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, if you adhere to the Zayin Mitzvahs, and believe in God, Achdus Hashem, though there's only one God, not multiple gods. Once the world recognizes that, the Mashiach will come, and the ultimate redemption will take place, peace will reign on the world, and all the brachas, haksuvis b'Torah, will be fulfilled for everybody, not only for the Jews, but even for the non-Jews who decide to believe in God like we do. They'll celebrate the Yom Tov HaSukkos with us, as the Midrashim and the Psukim tell us, will be in a totally different matzav. Chazak v'yamatz, remember the Musa Shmuz of Yeshua, the Muslim of Kalev, u'lashana haba, Yerushalayim habanuya.
You have been listening to a presentation of benstorah.com.